in another part of the company in another part of the country. And I was talking away and ordering things, and all of a sudden the lady I was talking to interrupted me, and she said, "I want to ask you a question." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, what is it?" And she said, "Does everybody in Alabama sound like you? Because I have a friend in Mobile, and you sound exactly alike." Now, as a native Alabamian, I would be one who would say, "No, no, no, the people in Mobile and the people in West Alabama, where I was at the time, we don't sound anything alike to a trained Southern ear." And I said, "But yes, ma'am, I guess that's kind of how we sound in the South." And I got back to sharing my order, and in a few minutes she interrupted me again, and she said, "Okay, I need to ask you another question." She said, "Does everybody where you're from say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, as much as you do?" And she said, "And I want to ask you this, and do they teach you to say please and thank you when you go to school?" And I said, "Ma'am, if we have to get to school before we know how to say please and thank you, our parents feel like abject failures." And I finally was able to complete my order. One of the things that's so easy to express and yet so easy to forget is to offer thank you to somebody when they do something for you. I was just thinking a little while ago when Brother Rich was sharing with our children about, "Come up and I'll give you a cookie," and I was thinking, so what can you do to say thank you without saying thank you? And this is what y'all should say. You should say to him, "You're the best." Okay? And you might get two bags of cookies. We'll wait and see. You realize that praying thank you is really important in our lives. That as we talk to the Lord, there needs to be that place where we come to simple gratitude. But that's not always the easiest thing to remember. It's easy to remember to pray, "Heavenly Father," the first phrase of our simple prayer. You realize that you need to pray, "I trust you." You understand how important it is to pray for others and to say, "Lord, they need your touch." But if you're not careful, you can forget to say, "Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do in my life." The truth is, all too often we take our blessings for granted. But when you read the Bible, you find out that it is filled with expressions of gratitude to God, because He deserves our thanks, and we need to say to the Lord, "Thank you." Because that means we're paying attention. That means we are watching to see all of the ways God's hand is at work in the world around us and in our own lives. No wonder the passage we read together this morning gives us such plain guidance. What did Paul say? In Colossians he said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father." It's no wonder that Paul is the one who is teaching that lesson, because if there's anybody who gives us an example of what it means to pray grateful prayers, it is Paul, who will say, "You be thankful to God. I am thankful for you. Be thankful for one another. Make sure that people know how much you are grateful for what the Lord is doing in their lives." It clearly reveals that a grateful heart is a godly heart. So as we continue on looking at this idea of simple prayer, and we do pray, "Heavenly Father, I trust you. They need you." That we also take time and simply say to the Lord, "Thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing in my life." So I want to take a few moments and I want to talk about why and how you pray a simple prayer of gratitude. And maybe when I greet you at the door this morning, you will say, "Thank you for that message." We'll see. The first thing that the Bible tells us is this: we give thanks to God for who He is. Listen to how David cried out in Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. When you say thank you to God, one of the things you need to do is remember who He is. We talked about that on the very first Sunday of this message series, about thinking about God as Almighty Creator and Heavenly Father. But we also want to be grateful for who He is because of the characteristics of His life that we see, the qualities of His character. For instance, when you say thank you to God, you remember He is holy. You remember He is gracious. You remember He is good. You remember He is patient. You remember He is mighty. But Psalm 136 reminds me that I should be especially grateful for one dimension of His character. He is merciful. You may think from time to time, I'm just not sure I have anything to say thank you about. My week's been pretty tough. A lot of things have gone the wrong way. I'm not sure I'm in a grateful state of mind. But listen to this. Thank you, God, for Your mercy. You should be constantly grateful that the mercy of God has covered your sins. Be thankful that the mercy of God has transformed your life. Be thankful that the mercy of God follows you everywhere you go. Listen to what the Bible says God has done for you. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now understand, that word pities doesn't mean God is looking down and He thinks we're just pitiful creatures. That's talking about His compassion. God has incredible compassion upon sinners who need His touch. He is merciful. How merciful? As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. So how far is the east from the west? You know, a few weeks ago I talked about the fact that this universe we live in is 93 billion light years. Is that how far the east is from the west? No. It is infinitely more. What is the Bible saying when it says God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west? He is saying you will never encounter them again. You know, one of the things that a lot of people struggle with from time to time, and by a lot of people I mean all of us, are those things that we did, those mistakes that we made, those sins we committed, those times that we failed, and it happened a long time ago. But every now and then, Satan, the accuser, will come and say, you remember what you did. You remember how you failed. You remember how disappointed you are to the Lord. He could never forgive you for that. And yet the Bible says the accuser is a liar. Because what he says is this: when it's forgiven, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, you will never encounter that sin again. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus that we just heard sung about. And the Lord will say to us, that's not what I think about when I think of you. I think about my mercy. Here's a simple prayer of thanksgiving you can offer to the Lord. You can simply say, Lord, thank you that you love me, not because I am good, but because you are good. And your mercy covers all my failures. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, you remember that prayer. And in those times when you are forced to feel guilty, when the accuser comes and says, God could never let that go, you remember this. It's not because you are good. It's because He is good. And He is merciful. Thank you, God, for your mercy that covers me. Then the Bible tells us this. It says, give thanks for all the blessings you've experienced. If you can't find a reason to actively thank the Lord, you aren't paying attention. If you say to yourself, I haven't had any blessings recently. I haven't experienced any special touches from God. Let me tell you something. It doesn't mean He hasn't been blessing you. It means you haven't been watching. You haven't been listening. You haven't realized the fact that God is actively at work in your life. Maybe what has happened is you've just overlooked the blessings that are all around you. Mark Batterson is one of my favorite authors, and I love this. This is what he says. He says, you take everything that happens to you either for granted or for gratitude. Isn't that good? You take everything that happens to you for granted or for gratitude. That's what it means to say, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the blessings in my life. Because everything you touch and every pleasure you enjoy and every sunrise and every sunset comes from God's gracious hand. And here's the thing. He doesn't owe you a thing, and yet He provides everything you need. He gives you His blessings because He's chosen to make you His child. Not because you're entitled. Not because you've earned it and you deserve it. Because He chooses to bless you. We're inclined to believe that we're the source of our own blessings. But the truth is, everything finds its source in the Lord. Without exception. If all you have is what you've earned for yourself, you're in a world of trouble. Read a story one time about a genius who convinced himself that if God could do something in the Bible, He could do it as well. He said, I have no doubt that every miracle I read about in the Bible, everything that took place in the Bible, somehow I can discover a way through knowledge and research to recreate that miracle. And he challenged the Lord and he said, I can do anything that you can do. If I see it in the Bible, I can do it. And the Lord said, well, okay, why don't we begin at the beginning? And the Lord reached down and he scooped some dust up from the ground. And he breathed on it. And it became a living soul. And he looked at the man and he said, can you do that? And the man said, you know, I really believe if you can do it, I can do it. And he reached down and he began to scoop up the dust. And the Lord said, wait a minute, get your own dirt. Everything that touches your life comes from the gracious hand of a merciful God. Don't ever forget that. If merciful is the word that describes God's character, there's another word that describes all of us. And that word is blessed. We are blessed. In more ways than we can imagine. Blessed in ways we could never deserve. Blessed because this world is only a small fraction of the eternity that He has planned for your life. The Bible is right. It says, be grateful unto Him and bless His name. Thank the Lord for the blessings in your life. And then thank the Lord for those He has placed along your way. Those people whose lives have made a difference in your own. Here's the difference between an optimist and a pessimist. A pessimist can list the names of people who have disappointed them throughout their lives. If you just ask them the question, who has let you down in your life? They are ready with an answer. And they can go all the way back and they can talk about how their parents let them down and their teachers let them down and coworkers let them down and bosses let them down and neighbors let them down and acquaintances let them down and everybody let them down. They can't believe so many people have failed them so many ways. An optimist, on the other hand, can name those people along their path who have enriched their lives and been a blessing in their lives. And they cannot believe they have been as blessed as they have been. One looks at other people and says, "I am so disappointed." And the other looks and says, "I am so richly blessed." God calls us to be thankful, especially for those who have equipped and challenged and encouraged us. I was sitting working on this message the other day, and I was astonished to think about so many people who have made such a huge difference in my life. And He always seemed to put them in the right place at the right time. Pastors I served under who invested in me, men like James Walters and Ernie Boyd and Nolan Gross and Rick Marshall, who helped me learn this is what it means to be a pastor. So when I stepped out and began this journey of pastoral ministry, I already had a pattern and a model that I could follow. I think back to when I was a teenager and there were youth ministers like Mike Walker and George King who invested me during a time when I gave no indication I was worth the effort. Church members whose influence in my life made a lasting difference. Leaders who've offered me opportunities to serve and lead in new ways, like Dr. Lance at our state convention. Dr. Chitwood at IMB, opportunities that sometimes I look around and say, how on earth did somebody like me have the privileges and opportunities that I've been given? I'm grateful for godly parents who not only taught us the way, but showed us the way to follow Jesus. Most of all, I'm grateful for my wife, who loves me more than I deserve to be loved, for my children, who make me more than proud, but mostly gave me grandchildren. I'm so thankful that over the years, the Lord has given me the privilege of investing in so many incredible people that He has also called into ministry. Every week, I get to lead an amazing staff with some amazing students that are serving the Lord in amazing ways. Over the years, I've been allowed to invest in others who are literally serving God today all over the world. What an incredible privilege. I'm grateful to have served church families who have encouraged me and challenged me and loved me, especially this church family and the privilege I have to lead you. But here's the thing about all of that. There's nothing special about my story. Because you have your own list of individuals that God placed in your life at just the right time. I want to challenge you this morning, just for a moment. Take a moment, right where you're sitting. Remember someone who has blessed your life. If today you were going to say, "Lord, thank you for," whose name would fall into that slot? Maybe somebody from long ago. Maybe somebody you talked to just this morning. Remember the impact they've made. Realize how they challenged you spiritually. Think about how you are different because God placed them along your path. Think about that person that you would like to say, "Thank you, God." Four. Now take a moment. Right here, right now. Bow your head. Thank God for that person. And tell Him specifically why. And I'll wait a minute till you get done. Father, all over this room, we're stopping right now to say thank you for people that you have placed in our lives. Father, family, friends, leaders, teachers, neighbors. Father, thank you for the impact they had. Thank you that we are who we are because they were who they were. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them and let them know how valuable they are. Amen. The same way God is offering you the privilege to touch other people's lives. And you get to do that at home, at school, at work, through church, in your neighborhood. God is using you. You've touched friends and classmates and colleagues and neighbors. If you ever find yourself feeling as though you don't have anything to pray about, start thanking God for the people in your life. And you may find it hard to stop. When I was running through my list a while ago, I was thinking about other people and I thought, but you can't keep them there forever. You know, one of the times that I remember that I realized Judith really loved me was the first time I carried her home, brought her home to Birmingham to meet my family. And while she was home during that time, one of the things we did one evening is we pulled out, okay, students, you can close your ears because you won't know any of this. Those little 8mm, 5-minute movie rolls, you remember? The ones that had no sound. And we spent about 3 hours as a family watching those old movies and laughing together and poking each other. And Judah sat there and acted like she enjoyed it. And I thought, that girl really loves me. Thank you for those people in our lives. In his epistle, Paul sets a great example for us about what we should do after praying grateful prayers for others. He says, let them know. I love when you read the epistles of Paul that he says to these churches he's writing to, I thank God for you, and here's why. And this is what you've done for me, and this is how you've touched my life, and this is how you made a difference, and this is how we are family together, and this is how we're partners in the gospel, and this is how God is using you in my life. And sometimes when we pray grateful prayers, we need to make sure those people that we've been praying for know this is what you've done for me. Judith and I were in the car together just this past week, and out of the blue, she said to me, I love this church. I'm just so glad we are here. They are such a blessing to me. You need to know that's how she feels about you. But it's also really important because her testimony when we came here 10 years ago was this. I know God wants us to do this, but I don't think I'm going to like living in a city. Today, there's nowhere else she'd rather be. You are the reason. Thank you. I encourage you, find an opportunity to tell somebody before this week is over, I am glad God placed you in my life. You can tell them face to face, wonderful way to do it. You can call them on the telephone. You can drop them a note. Let them know you are a blessing in my life. And the Lord says it matters that we pray grateful prayers. Luke 17, there's a story about Jesus and a group of 10 men who cried out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, these 10 men were lepers. They were with one another because nobody else wanted to be anywhere close to them. And the Lord instructed them. He said, go and show yourselves to the priests, and you'll be made well. And along the way, as they were traveling to show themselves to the priests, they realized the disease is gone. We are clean. We are clear. We can go back to normal lives the way we used to live. But the key passage is Luke 17, 15, and 16, where the Bible says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? And he said to the man, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." How important is it to say thanks to the Lord when He changes your life? You know, I read that story and I think, you know, it's a good thing that I'm not the Lord. Because if I had been in His place, I probably would have written the story a different way. I would have ended the story this way. I would have said, "So were there not 10 who were healed, and where are the other 9? And you're going to be well, but by the time these guys get to the priest, they're going to be just as sick as they ever were. I'm going to punish them for not coming back to say thank you." Aren't you glad I'm not the Lord? I am. You see, this is what we need to understand. Jesus was not concerned with whether the lepers thanked Him. His concern was their need to be thankful. How is it only one of you knows how to be thankful? You see, a grateful heart changes who you are. And the more grateful you become, the more you see the evidence of His hand in your life. Jesus told this leper who had come to Him that the greatest gift he had received was not a healthy body. It was a whole new life. This is what he said. He said, "Your faith has made you well." Long after he had been made clean, long after he'd returned to his family, long after he'd been able to go back to a normal life, he was a different person. Because he had a faith that had never been there before. A faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody who's ever experienced the saving touch of Jesus is ever the same. We are thankful for the saving touch of a loving Lord. We are thankful for new beginnings. That leper had a new beginning not because he was physically whole again. He had a new beginning because he had come to know Jesus. And he would never, ever be the same. And neither are you, neither are I. Of all the gifts God has given us, He's given us a personal relationship with His Son. Could there be any more reason to be thankful? Is there any better reason to say thank you for what you've done for me? Unless, of course, you're here this morning and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. But you want one. And maybe just as that man came to Jesus, it may be that this morning when we sing our invitation hymn, you'll need to come and say, "You know what? Today I want to trust Christ. I want to experience His mercy. I want to know what it's like to be surrounded by His blessings. I want to know eternal life because it's His gift to me." So maybe today, if you're not a Christian, you need to come and I'll help you come to know Jesus. It would be my greatest privilege. Or maybe you're hearing God speaking to you in a very special way as He is blessing your life. And maybe He's saying, "You know what? I'm blessing you through this church. I want you to be part of what I'm doing here. I want you to come and be a member at this church." Maybe today you're thinking about a special blessing you've experienced and you just need to say, "I thank God for what He's done for me." Is there a reason you need to walk the aisle and make a decision today? We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. It's been good to spend this day in worship together. Let me encourage you to be back tonight. Tonight, as we move on through our Romans study, just seems to twin this morning's message, because we're going to be talking about the power of encouragement from Romans 15 tonight. So I encourage you to be here with us. We'll learn more about how we can build one another. So glad we got to be here. Let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you for all the ways you touch our life. Father, we thank you for the people we love. We thank you for those around us. We thank you for all of the ways we experience your blessing. We thank you for your goodness. Help us, Lord, never to take it for granted, but to take it all for gratitude. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's jump.